We're good to go. Do that paper shuffle one more time. Make it official.
The Road to the Stage returns. Yeah, not bad, not bad. That's what the newscasters do in the future.
Yep.
I'm Patrick Bateman.
Peter Michaels.
How are you? What's going on?
We are so close to the big day.
The big day is? What's the big day?
Boxing Day.
Boxing Day.
I don't know, December 29th.
When we will go spend all the money we've been saving up for the holidays, right?
That's right. Get all that new stuff.
Speaking of money saved up for the holidays, how's your White Buffalo trip?
There is no money left. Sorry, kids. Dad, why do we only have the 5-cent candies in our stocking?
Because I wanted to see the White Buffalo.
I spent money on the White Buffalo.
Okay, so last year we did this. Everyone else does it. Why can't we do it again? Our top fives. We're not doing top 50 albums. We're not doing top 50 songs and shows. We're just going to do top fives, maybe with some honorable mentions.
I did 50.
Well, too bad for you, because you're not going to hear all 50 of them.
Cut.
So we decided that in the vein of our show and what we focus on, shows, songs, albums.
Show, songs, albums, yes.
Makes the most sense, right?
Yep.
How did you feel compiling your favorites? It's not easy.
Overall, and I'll put this as the caveat that goes along with this, so do not hold me to any of these top five lists, because if we recorded the show tomorrow...
Yeah, it could be different.
Probably going to be different. If we recorded it the day after that, it would probably be different.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's very difficult.
It reflects where we are today after 11.3 months of 2022.
I'm pretty confident in my show that my number one show would still be my number one show from day to day. My top three albums, I'm pretty confident, might rotate in the order a little bit, but I think they're always going to be the top three. Other than that, it's, there's...
Well, I should clarify, I don't actually have a 1-5 ranking.
Oh, good. It's so they're just five.
Yeah.
Perfect.
If you want to actually decide?
No, I do not.
Okay, good. There's no need for that.
Good.
And honestly, it's been really tough. We've put ourselves in a position on the show where we're constantly exposed to new art and music from many, many genres. So I tried to approach this as objectively as possible. It's almost impossible to do.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, a lot of my answers are simply based on this is what I spent the most time with.
Okay, good. Whew, I'm so relieved to hear you, because I'm the exact same way.
I'm not saying this is the best.
This is not technically the best or
critically
philosophically
the best.
Or critically or whatever. This sounded good to my ears.
Yeah, and I listened to it 45 times.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, good.
Well, with that being said, we are The Road to the Stage. We talk to touring musicians, often playing shows here in Red Deer.
We have friends like Sawback Brewing Company, Go Services Inc., and Bose Barn Stage.
And our home, Communal Creative Studios. So let's talk about our top five shows of the year. This was exceptionally hard.
Do you keep a list of shows that you've gone to?
I don't keep a list other than the pictures I post on Instagram.
Okay.
So I did have to go through my Instagram to make sure I didn't forget anything.
Okay.
So, you want to go first, Mr. Michaels?
Because I do keep... I've actually got a list of shows on my phone going back to however
1988.
Long. Maybe even a little further than that. So...
You want to go one by one?
Yeah.
Each? We'll share?
I'll do one, you do one?
Yep.
Okay. So, I am going to start off with Grandson at Bose on stage.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was not a typical Grandson show in that it wasn't part of a tour.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little bit of a one-off, so I don't know that it quite had as much of the stage production that Grandson would normally bring with him.
Yeah.
And it wasn't Halloween, so he was dressed up as Bob Ross.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, even without all of that extra stuff, the energy that comes from that band, not just Jordan himself, but that band, is massively impressive.
Yeah, it's funny seeing him and interacting with him a few hours before the show. Bumped into him outside, and we've chatted on the phone. Jordan and I had a radio interview on the phone many years ago, and he was very tired. He was trying to... Riley and I were standing out back of Bose, and he was just trying to fit in a nap in the van.
Yeah.
And we were just talking on his way to the van, and I forget how it came up, but I said something like, do the podcast or something. I forget. Who opened that show?
So that was the other beautiful part of that show was El Niven and the Alibi.
Right. So that's who we interviewed.
And that's who we had interviewed for the podcast, and they blew the doors off.
So I said, we're just here to interview the opener. He's like, oh, cool. Are we sitting down to chat? And part of me was like, well, I said we've tried many times. but part of me was like, yeah, I mean, yeah, we should jump on this. But also, you seem like you could use a nap.
Pretty worn out.
Yeah. And so he went off and had a nap. And 3 hours later, he's on stage doing what he does. And it was pretty very, very impressive.
We will get Jordan on this show at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a cool show.
That'll definitely be top five for me. And very cool. I know his repertoire pretty much all the way through.
And you've seen him once or twice now?
That's a couple times? Probably the sixth or seventh.
Oh, holy shit. Wow,
time.
Crazy.
So, and honestly, I think every other time has been festival, an outdoor festival. So even just to see it inside and everything.
Or in a seated theater.
Or in a seated
I can't imagine watching him in a seated theater.
It did not go over that well that time at a seated theater here.
All right. Well, my first of the top shows of the year was probably the easiest to pick, and that is what I assume is the biggest show in history of Bose, and that's Future Islands.
Yeah.
Never expected to see them, let alone in Calgary or Edmonton, honestly. But see them in the comfort of our own home at Bose was fucking crazy. I mean, just the anticipation leading up to it was wild because we announced this huge show that I never thought would happen. It's a big deal, and now we got to wait to see if it actually happens.
Right.
In the era in which shows are canceled.
It was
right
in
center.
That, right in that
it
era.
It was a little sketchy, but it turned out to be incredible. I mean, it was an amazing
a cathartic
show.
Experience.
It was wild.
Yeah.
And then O'Rose opening, which didn't know anything about them until after. Their set was amazing. Didn't realize that they're from Olympia, which Olympia, Washington is like such an important place for post-punk, post-rock, alternative, very progressive thinking music.
Yep.
So that was just another example of, you know, they say don't miss the opener, but also learn about the opener because you don't always know exactly what you just witnessed.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah. And the hope is that you will want to do that after seeing them. Right?
Much like you might learn about a musician or an artist here on the road to the stage then go and listen to their music. That's kind of the opposite.
The one takeaway I had from Future Islands was
stamina.
Like it's for sure the stamina. Well, there are two things, but the eye contact.
Yeah. He gets into your soul.
Right deep down inside of the soul. And when you bring up the fact that we were right around that time where things could have gone either way.
Yeah.
I just remember like he was working his ass off and was so sweaty.
Yeah.
And I remember that being one of the first shows where I'm like, oh, a lot of sweat flying around in here tonight.
Hopefully they're staying healthy.
That was definitely a show that I had considered mentioning. And I figured you probably would.
There you go.
The next one on my list that I have is we talked about Boy Golden. Was that last episode?
You
Golden.
Missing the Sheepdogs.
So I did
Golden.
Get to see Boy Golden show at Bose, which was
in the summer.
But I also, so it was my first time seeing Boy Golden at the Rocky Mountain Ice House in Edmonton, part of.
Big Winter Classic.
Winter Classic. Is it Big Winter Classic in Edmonton?
Winter Eruption in Edmonton, I think.
So that was just really special because as much as this is a best of 2022, if I could put an album from 2021 on this list, Church of Better Days.
Yeah.
Was still getting a ton of play for me this year.
Yeah.
So seeing him at a very small venue in Edmonton, same kind of deal. I think if I remember correctly, he said they'd gotten there like a half an hour or so before their set. No time to sound check.
Yeah.
It was pretty much parked, load in, and play. And it was beautiful.
And a cool small room too, right?
Very, very small. They could barely fit them all on stage. I'm thinking maybe 100 people in this tiny little box of an area in there.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a cool way to witness those songs live for the first time.
It is pretty funny too, because you saw Boy Golden twice this year, that festival, and then once in the summer. When I was talking to Boy Golden at the show that you missed a couple weeks ago, because you were sick, I was like, yeah, how's tour going? He's like, yeah, it's been great. This show 50-something. I was like, holy fuck. And then they go home in a couple weeks for the holidays, and then they go right back out.
Yeah.
Keep going. That's a huge fucking tour.
From here, they went straight down. Like, they're with the Sheepdogs through this whole road, right?
Oh, yeah,
in San Francisco the other night at the Fillmore.
Yeah. It's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wild. I wonder if Liam Boy Golden knew when we talked to him, which would have been last fall.
Again, doesn't seem like it was that long ago, but you're right. It was
last fall, right?
Yeah.
I wonder if he knew that that was what his year was going to turn out like, non-stop touring.
Yeah.
Cause
which is why maybe because he was in the studio a fair amount earlier this year.
Right, to try
to get that done then, because there wasn't going to be a lot of time
after.
Band is phenomenal.
Really good.
That
really
Fontaine's
good.
Got some new song music is great.
Homemaker, yep. I think.
Great.
All right. Well, one of the other five shows for me was Braids. I've been waiting to see Braids from Montreal for a long time. This was another show of Bo's, talented musicians. And they were just doing a few dates. I think they're shaking off the cobwebs. Raphael from the band is originally, or they're all actually originally from Calgary. So I think they came out here to see friends and family and play a couple shows.
Yep.
It was a Monday night, from what I remember. Attendance was quite low.
If I'm remembering
very
correctly,
low.
was this the show that you met the dude from Seattle or wherever that had
Portland.
Portland, right. Right.
I believe it was Portland. It was crazy because the Braids is like very critically acclaimed.
Mm-hmm.
They've gotten a ton of awards and nominations and just make insane music. And I remember being at the show thinking, God damn it, there's not a lot of people here. But they knew that coming in. It's a Monday night. It was February, I want to say, maybe March. And at the end of the day, we kind of got a private concert from this band in a sick venue. But yeah, there's this one guy that I was eyeing up. I was like, okay, I've never seen that guy at a show before, but we might be into the same music. I got to talk to that guy. And then found out that he flew up from fucking Portland.
By himself. Love it.
Specifically to come to Red Deer to see Braids. At Bo's, a place he's never heard of, in a town he's never, wasn't even aware of.
Yep.
And he ended up getting basically a private show.
Yep.
Really worked out. Very, very cool.
Yeah,
very
that
cool.
is a great story.
So, not something I'll forget for a long time.
Okay, we're not all going to be Bo's shows here, but
nope.
Another band that has a very special connection to Bo's got to play here, I think towards the end of summer, maybe it was early September, the Rural Alberta Advantage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a special moment. Anytime they
Which
come
Which I missed
town.
That show.
You missed that show.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know necessarily that this show had anything that was completely different from previous shows.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that band in that room and a sold out show. To watch Paul's drumming live in person, if you're not a fan of the band, that is, you absolutely have to go and see them live.
Yeah.
Stand on Paul's side, and there's no way you're not a fan mm-hmm. after leaving that show. The energy is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, Rural Alberta Advantage is a kind of an interesting band where when I was working alternative radio in Calgary, obviously their songs were getting some spins, and I liked them. I thought they're good. They're catchy.
Yep.
Unique, very unique.
Very unique.
But yeah, it wasn't until I saw them live that I was like, oh, I got to go listen to everything because that was wild.
Puts them right over the top. Like I say, Paul's drumming, the haunting harmonies, the energy. That's a band I would not ever miss and will have to be mentioned in my five shows of the year every year.
Okay, there you go. So this next one, it goes back to episode 31. You remember who was on episode 31?
Sure, of course I do.
Mitch DeRosier from Born Ruffian. So Mitch and we talked with Mitch again last fall, right? And they had already announced that they were coming to Red Deer in 2022. And he said that when Born Ruffians finally returned to Bo's, that the opening act was going to blow them out of the water. It's not verbatim, but something along those lines.
Yeah.
That's not something you often hear, I think, from the headliner, unless they're like very nice and generous and kind people. So we anticipate Sham Family to be killer. They dropped their EP, which I listened to a lot. I really liked it. But at the same time, as much as I love the EP, I just didn't know what kind of sticky situation you might get yourself into watching a Sham Family set. Then we interviewed them before the show and find out that they're just a bunch of goofs and cool dudes. And then they hit the stage. And I will say, and I quote, Sham Family put on a set that makes me want to grin maniacally from ear to ear.
Well, and talk about the pre-show ritual.
What was the pre-show ritual?
Of getting over the nerves of getting on stage.
Oh, fuck, I forgot. Yeah, he has a real bad.
Real bad stage
Real bad. I forgot all about that because their set was so good. So good that I saw them twice. I went and saw them in Toronto at the Garrison in the summer. And again, fantastic set. Got to take my partner and my brother there for that one, and that was a lot of fun. With my brother, we don't totally share the same musical taste.
Yeah.
But I was just like, dude, there's the show. You just got to see it.
Yeah.
You got to see it. And
raw
it worked.
And real.
Oh, yeah. little ear blood happening maybe, and that's the kind of stuff I really like.
Well, other bodily fluids before the
yeah, exactly.
show and everything, that just goes exactly. hand in hand. Okay, if I were to ask you before we even had started this, if you could think of one show that I would bring up for sure out of this year, is there one that you would think that you are like, I'm so predictable, Pete's going to bring this up?
Was it in Red Deer?
No.
It's Sky Wallace.
No, Sky, that's a tough one. There's a, yeah, no.
Is it in Calgary or Edmonton?
Neither.
Oh, wait, where did you travel this year?
We did both see this gentleman.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
So
I'll side with you on this one.
Jack White at the PNE Coliseum in Vancouver because mm-hmm. he didn't have any Alberta dates.
Yep.
And there was no way I was going to let him get that close without going.
Mm-hmm.
And a memorable show for a lot of reasons because, A, the musicianship is second to none.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that there's no set list. Audibles are called in between songs.
Yep.
Everybody's all flying here, there, and everywhere. The venue itself actually was kind of shitty. It's an old rink.
Really old.
And you're in there. You're packed in there pretty tight.
Yeah.
And then one of the big takeaways from that show as well is he's playing Hotel Yorba. And the crowd just isn't buying it for whatever reason. So he just stops mid-Hotel Yorba and says, all right, I guess you guys don't like that song, and moves on to the next. Despite that,
still killer.
Just an incredible show from the lights, the musicianship.
It's funny. I have a very different experience.
Well, yeah, you had a much better venue.
Well, but not only that, but I didn't have any anticipation for the show because I didn't know I was going to the show. I had actively said, no, I'm not going to the show. Right. We were going to Toronto to visit family and friends for 2 weeks. We were there in August. It's not a cheap, cheap summer vacation.
No.
And we just knew early on that this Jack White show is just not in the cards for us. About a week, I think, before we went out there, our friends surprised us with floor tickets. So it was a weird experience where an artist that I care very much about, that I've supported for most of my life at this point, made a conscious decision, a sacrifice, not to be there at this show in my hometown at the same venue I saw one of the last White Stripe shows. No, I'm not going to go. I can't do it this time. And then it just happened, and it was...
That's karma. That's the world coming around to saying,
I guess so.
Good call, Patrick. So. We're going to deliver the goods to you.
I actually don't know if I told you this, but I had a moment. So the Jack White show, as we've talked about before, you're not allowed to have your phone. You lock up your phone into a pouch. You get to keep it on you, blah, blah, blah. It's a good experience. You don't need to be on your phone all the time. And this is me. I don't know what this says about me or ego or whatever. But it wasn't until about 30 minutes into that show that I'm standing there and I'm like, I fucking interviewed this guy.
Yeah.
I like totally did not think about it in the days, hours, minutes leading up to the
That's
show.
That's crazy.
How weird is that?
I think about that all the time.
And I'm just standing there like, oh yeah, this is a sick show. Oh, right. We talked on the phone.
You talked to that guy on the phone.
And I remember telling them that after the show, and I think they thought it was crazy, but it was a pretty funny moment.
This is a guy that doesn't do a ton of interviews.
No. And I cut it short too, which is really funny. Because remember they'd given me, this is a weird, so to those of you who don't know, we got an opportunity at the radio station to interview Jack White. Pete was kind enough to give it to me because he knew I was a huge fan. The day before the interview is when we found out about it. That same day, around 3 in the afternoon, because you'd called me to tell me that this is happening, I had to hop on a call with some management company in New York. I was told that they were going to vet my questions. They didn't end up vetting my questions at all. They just said, yeah, Jack really likes to talk about the music, which was just a nice hint of just, you know, focus
Keep
on
it.
That. Yeah. And with that information, I came in very, very prepared. It's the first time I've ever kicked anyone out of the studio. I kicked Matt out because his show wasn't over yet and he was lingering. I was like, you got to get out of here. Like, sorry, dude, but get off. Like, I think I was like jumping up and down to like just like calm myself down. I don't know if that works. But at the end of the day, I got through my stuff. I think I was given a hard 15 and I said goodbye at 13 minutes or something
like
that.
Oh, shit.
And I feel like
two extra minutes with Jack.
Yeah.
And I remember I can't remember everything about that conversation. But I do remember you guys talked about Canada
mm-hmm.
a fair
mm-hmm.
amount and the different things of touring Canada and some
of the
things
that he loves
about
the country, his connection.
The country, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
So is this Jack White's my concert or is it yours too?
I'll put that in as an honorable mention.
That's an honorable mention, okay.
Next up for me, another show not at Bose. In June, a few of us went to Montreal for the F1 race. Coincidentally, timed out with the OBGM's Nobro co-headlining tour, which that night Nobro was headlining, of course, because it was in their hometown of Montreal. But it was at a legendary venue that I didn't really know much about. It's like a historical punk landmark, Foof's. And it was just, much like Jack, just a beautiful, just timing. Timing and people willing to do something really is how we got there. One of the greatest consequences of my life, absolutely. And the OBGM's put on one of the best live sets and I've seen ever.
How much do you think city and venue played a role in that? Like, if you had seen that exact same show at a venue in Calgary, would it have been the same?
That's a good point, because the OBGM's came through Calgary with DFA about a month and a half ago. And we didn't end up getting to go, though. I think the weather that weekend was terrible. But the more we got towards that show, and I love both of those bands, but I knew that it was going to be a very different experience at this venue at Foof's in Montreal. There's no barricade to the stage. It's a punk club. You're there or you're not. Like, yeah, that's how it is. Whereas I knew that show in Calgary would be a little more, there would be more separation, which after seeing the OBGM's, I know that they can pull off anything, but getting in there with the crowd was a pretty meaningful part of their set. So yeah no, it would make a big difference.
I believe that.
Sure. So yeah, OBGM's, if you ever get to see them, do it. Doesn't matter where it is. Unreal.
I forget where we're at. I think one more.
Yeah, you got your last one.
So this one is, one of the things I love about seeing live music is just seeing musicians on stage having fun, just like doing what they love to do.
Mm-hmm.
And like we've kind of talked about, just a loose show.
Yeah.
So I think I could probably say this was my favorite show of the year, although again, different day, I might say differently. But anyway, gang, at Starlight Room in Edmonton, was just fun. It was just a fun show. The guys have all done their serious bands where they've tried to do the whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a bunch of dudes that were just having a good time. It was almost a comedy fest.
Yeah.
As much
they're
as
they're all
it
pretty
was
funny dudes
a,
too. Yeah.
A concert. They're funny dudes. They're ragging each other on stage. They're all like highly talented individuals and have had much success in other shapes and forms.
Yeah.
So of course they're just going to keep it pretty loose. But that was, I remember walking away that night and going, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Like they're playing fun music, just having a good time. There's no care in the world. They're not trying to achieve this or that with it. It was just completely loose and free.
You had many, many good things to say about that show. Your son too was like totally blown away by it.
Again, same thing. I would not hesitate wherever those guys are playing to go and check out that show again.
Well, my final in the top five is Show of Bows. This is a meaningful show to me because two of my friends who are pretty near and dear to my heart flew out from Toronto for it. Comeback Kid, Misery Signals, Cancer Bats, at Bows. I was introduced to this music by them primarily when I was a teenager. So to have them fly out, not just to see the show, but visit us in Alberta meant a lot. And more importantly, to show them Communal Creative Studios and Bows was huge.
Yeah.
To pair it with that show was so fucking cool. We've been told, we've been informed that Cancer Bats have quite a following in Red Deer. And that night I really realized what they meant. Comeback Kid is one of my favorite bands ever. They sounded better than I've ever seen them before. Misery Signals hasn't played a show in however many years. That was incredible. It was a first time I've done mushrooms for a hardcore show. That was an interesting experience. It was a blast.
But the one takeaway I had from that show again was just like the chaos of it.
Mm-hmm.
But how much love, like, again, I just,
oh, yeah,
there was just so much love.
Yeah, it was not a bad thing happening.
Not a bad thing. Yeah. There's people jumping on stage and jumping off and the crowd surfing and the, you worry a situation like that can get out of control pretty easily. But it just, love is the biggest thing I remember taking away out of that show.
Yeah. No, it was a beautiful, really, really heavy night. I just said no bad things happened. The only thing I saw.
Are you sure you saw it?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I am. I saw a plastic water bottle hit the stage from the crowd.
Oh.
And I could see in my peripherals who it was. It was a blonde guy with a beard and a baseball cap.
Okay.
So I look over because I'm fucking pissed. Why would you ever do that? It's not like a, hey, here's a water bottle, have fun. Like, no, you threw it and the singer looked a little annoyed for a second and then we all moved on. I looked over, two guys looked exactly the same standing next to each other. Blonde beard, baseball caps. I'll never figure out who it was. Don't do that shit. That's so annoying.
Yeah, it sucks when you've got, especially a night that's so beautiful and perfect, to just have one tiny little, and that's all it takes is just one.
Some loser.
And that's the problem with it, right? It's always just one.
Goof who's trying to make someone laugh or, I don't know, thinks girls are impressed. I don't know.
And takes it all down. Yeah.
So yeah, that show is incredible. Any honorable mentions from you?
Well, that Skywalla show was great. Again, another artist that I've really, really been into for a number of years. That we almost had a show last fall here in Red Deer that ended up getting canceled.
Yeah, forgot about that.
String of shows that got canceled, who had a new album out this year that I really loved everything on. So yeah, a late night drive into Calgary to see the majority of that set. Not, I guess I still haven't seen a full show from start to finish. But she's like... Sky Wallace is awesome, and her band, again, same thing. They're just out there having fun.
Yeah, yeah. You can tell that from social media alone, for sure.
Yeah.
I got honorable mentions to Chastity at Commonwealth and Stampede Coke Stage. Both shows just made me want to see them in a different venue even more.
Yeah.
Riley and I went to see Built to Spill at the Palace, which was really, really cool. Never seen them, and that was a lot of fun. Got to go to the Horseshoe in Toronto in the summer to see Darling Congress and surprisingly Teenage Kicks, which was a pretty big deal. And Dusty Tucker at the Vat.
Dusty Tucker at the Vat was, and again, that is the band I think of when I think of guys having fun.
Yeah, so for context, producer Ryan used to be in a band called Dusty Tucker, which gained serious notoriety, not just in Red Deer, but around. And they reunited for a show a few weeks ago, and it was a blast.
Again, another night of like pure chaos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
lots of fun.
Honestly, I thought you would have mentioned the Zune.
Yeah, Zune, honorable mention too.
Zune opened
twice actually. Zune opened for Royal Canoe, and then Riley and I went and saw him down in at the King Eddie as well before Built.
Yeah, because one thing like with that Zune show that I remember is typically we kind of stand off in the same area.
I was up front.
But you were up front for that. Yeah.
I want my ears in the optimal position for all that noise.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, top shows. That was a pretty good list.
I think so.
I mean, and we went to a lot of shows this year, so.
Yeah, and we didn't have one that was the same.
No, I don't think we had any duds.
I can't think of a show that I... Like, and I'll stick through to the end, even if I'm not...
I won't.
You won't, eh?
Hell no. Fuck no. If I don't like it, I'm out of there.
Okay. No, I usually hold through, and I can't think of one that I even thought about leaving, so that's a good thing.
All right, top five songs.
Okay.